one thing about New England, man, they're going to empty out their tank. They're not, you know, they're here to win. They're going to empty out their tank. They're going to run whatever they have on that play sheet, whatever time it is in the game. I mean, I respect them for that because, you know, you're up 2 touchdowns. You also know you're going against another great quarterback. Let's win the game, man. We ain't trying to save the game. Let's win the game. So, and that's the way they play to win the game. So I respect that about them.
Welcome back. Phil Michaels Show, we continue on. Those are the words of Tremont Williams, talking about the Patriots running back and running game. Frank Gore is getting up there in years, but he continues to impress. Speaking of impressive, his huge physique and dominant presence now walks through the studio doors. That is one Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. How you doing, Michael?
5'10", 220. What do you mean huge? What are you talking about?
You look like a god sitting on a throne when you were with your daughter in New England. I love those pictures.
Oh, yeah. Heck, I did get a chance. What was it? Tuesday, before we got on the plane, went to the JFK Library.
Yeah.
And Boston is a beautiful city. I haven't been there in about 20 years. Oh, my gosh. Expensive.
Yeah. Right.
You're sitting in traffic, and the cheapest car, you know, waiting for the light to turn is a Mercedes.
Right. Yeah, it's not a place poor people are going to go.
So the game ends Sunday night. You know, it starts at 8:25 out there. I had not been to Foxborough or Gillette Stadium. And Foxborough kind of reminds me of Mequon, you know, or De Pere, those kinds of areas. Very hilly, though. And they've got these big, beautiful colonial homes, New England-style homes, where they do their tailgating out there. Those Massachusetts, those Boston people are rowdy. They're loud, they're big, they're rowdy, they're chugging beer and I can't repeat half of the things they say.
Mm-hmm.
Very passionate, they challenge you. They're very competitive about everything.
So how much did you drink?
No.
Because I know you and Samuel Adams, you guys made friends when we were at Oktoberfest in Cincinnati years ago. It was kind of a reunion for you, wasn't it?
That was a different era. So you get in, and Gillette Stadium, it's. I think it's got some, one of the things I like about certain stadiums is like what used to be Quest Field. I don't know what the Seahawks call their thing now. There's some of these aisles where you come at the end zone seats, and there's points where you can see like the whole stadium. But you still feel very close to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Lambeau's great with its big bowl, and it doesn't seem to be a bad seat in the house. But that's what's interesting about Gillette. You don't really capture on TV is how high the stands are, but it's all really close in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of room. I mean, it's really laid out well so that, you know, Mr. Kraft can make his money on the suites, but at the same time, all the folks have good seats. And if you just like standing room off to the side, you can see everything. They play the game. The media... When I've covered Packer games in New York against the Giants or the Jets, and we have more media in Wisconsin sometimes than those papers and TV stations assign to Giants and Jets games.
Mm-hmm.
Even in years where the Giants ended up eventually going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Boston media, when they call it the New England Patriots, it's all New England. That's the first time I felt even more than... You know, we're like 50-50 with Chicago, too, aren't
sure,
we?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Even though Chicago's got a lot of writers and papers and stations and all that. But, man, and they stay late, like us Wisconsin guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Saw Greg Bedard there.
Right.
Used to work, you know, Journal here Sentinel, for Journal Sentinel. And now
Boston Globe for a while, and Boston that was Globe. His own deal.
Yeah, and Sports Illustrated started his own webpage. So those guys are cranking, too. So I got out of there about 4:30. And the press elevator was broken.
Oh, naturally.
So you got to take all these ramps down, all right, from like 6 stories up. And it was about a half-hour walk out to the parking lot, but where they had the auxiliary media parking. And there's this Belichick 2-hour, you know, bio that's on NFL Network. It's like maybe the 2013 season or something. But, I mean, you're in Belichick's office and how he meets with Robert Kraft and how he meets with Tom Brady. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's great. But I recognize that's his office right there. There's a big sign says Patriots. There's the front door to their office. It's got some big glass, you know, with photos that change of different players and the front desk. And you just need the key card. But you can walk right up there from the parking lot. There's no big fortress of gates or anything like that, like a Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
These guys just walk across an open parking lot and swipe their card. Well, by the way, that Patriots place, which is sort of like what the Titletown Village was, you know,
right,
inspired by, it's about as big as like Bayshore Mall or some of the malls in Madison, only it's right up against the stadium. Department stores, three or four hotels and all that. It's right up against the stadium as opposed to kind of the six blocks of spread out the way Mark Murphy's got it laid out on Lambeau, on Lombardi Drive. So I'm walking out of the parking lot at 4:30 in the morning, and it's now finally completely empty. And there's three dudes that are coming up in their Patriots hoodies. They got their iPads, their backpacks, and their Starbucks. They're like late 20s. They're scouts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, the game's been over 4 hours. These dudes are already coming in to do the cut-ups. Start working at it. 4:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
I mean, that place grinds. They absolutely grind. The other thing I thought was interesting was this. You guys did a great job. I heard some of it on the car on the way up yesterday. Some of those Belichick outtakes. That was outstanding. And one of the ones that came from Belichick being mic'd up against the Packers was the touchdown to Josh Gordon. I think that came right after the Aaron Jones fumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brady is back there, and he's looking for, well, Julian Edelman is short. But all of a sudden, Josh Jones is wide open. And it's because the Packers 26, this Rashad Breeland, that they've been working at corner.
Right.
He bit on a fake that was, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, which opened up 10, Josh Gordon, all the way down the left sideline, and Brady flips it to him. And when from the sidelines, it looks like maybe it was intended for Edelman, who's jumping and trying to catch the ball. It goes over his head, and it goes right to Josh Gordon. So what you see Belichick asking Tom Brady, he's coming off the field, he says, who was that intended for? He said, Josh. Oh, okay. Just want to make sure, you know, that the play wasn't confused. But it was Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady looking out of the corner of his eye and realizing that this 26 guy, this new guy, this new corner, just bit on their fake and that Josh Gordon was going to be wide open, 51-yard touchdown,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that team is amazing. Belichick is just absolutely amazing. And it's interesting to be around. I've been around him three or four times, mostly at these Super Bowls. He's a lot more personable than he comes off on TV or the stuff we're playing back.
Right.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, did you see the Football Life episode of him? That NFL
yeah, I think
film?
That's the thing I was talking
yeah,
about.
Maybe that's what it was. He's human.
He's a very smart guy.
Very smart, very funny.
Yeah.
You know, very dry wit, but very funny. It's kind of like when I've had a chance a couple of times to sit down one-on-one and just do some stuff behind the scenes with Ted Thompson.
Yeah.
People didn't realize, never got a glimpse into that. People don't ever see that side of Bill Belichick.
It's just, there's so many things the Patriots do right, and they make it look simple. And that's usually the way with any kind of winning operation. Miami Dolphins, they've got a winning record. They're 5-4. Adam Gase is their head coach. This is a guy who's come up the ranks. Steve Mariucci hired him in Detroit. He's one of the offensive assistants there. And he worked for John Fox and the Broncos. And when Fox, he got the job with the Bears, he came with them. He was offensive coordinator for that 1 year, 2015, when he had Cutler. And they did pretty good. And so when Philbin got cut as the head coach of the Dolphins, Adam gets this job of the head coach of the Dolphins. He's kind of a weird dude. He had this situation where Matt Burke is his defensive coordinator, a guy that he worked alongside with the Lions. And Burke is now a defensive coordinator. I think this is his first job as a full DC in the NFL. These guys are both in their late 30s. Gase is about 40 years old. So they're trying to rotate in some of their safeties. They've got this Rashad Jones, who's back there, number 20. He's been there with them for about 9 years. And last week, during the what ended up beating the Jets at home in Miami, they got four picks after off of Sam Darnold from the Jets. This Jones guy is called off by his position coach. Say, hey, come on, we're putting in a new platoon, a new group. And he goes, what? He's insulted. So he walks off the game. So Adam Gase has to say, why? Talk to this veteran safety. Why did you leave the football game? And this was the question he got in Miami.
Adam, definitively, did Rashad take himself out of the game? And have you talked to him?
Yeah, he came up and saw me last night. So he came up to the office. We talked last night. So, and you know, I'm still kind of going through a couple things and need to talk to a couple other people. But, you know, me and him are on the same page right now. And, you know, that conversation between me and him, that's where it'll stay. I'll just leave it at that. I had a conversation with last night. I have an idea of a lot of things that happen, and it's going to get cleaned up.
You sound like you don't feel like it's resolved, though.
There's other factors involved, so I'm going to get that addressed and cleaned up.
Can you explain why the idea of platooning back there came about?
At safety position?
Yes, with Rashad.
Well, we got to make some adjustments. We're not going to sit there and do the same thing we did the last 2 weeks that you guys have been bitching about, right? So we're gonna move some things around. We let up 1,000 yards in 2 games. We're not going to stay the same. We're going to move around. We're going to have different guys playing spots. That's what it's going to be.
And we'll continue doing that.
We'll see what we do this week. We're playing a different guy this week. So I just know if we do a lot of the things we did this last game, the results will be different. I know we're results oriented. So, but Aaron Rodgers is a little different than Sam Darnold.
I would say so. You know, not that the media is now calling his defensive plays. I like that part, though.
He sounds like the guy in the hot seat.
Yeah, I like that part, that he understands that, you know, there are some smart media members out there that kind of get it.
Sure.
So we can be about it, I guess.
Oh.
You know, going to have more with Mike Clemens in studio coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I've had an unnatural amount of throwaways this year. I would say the majority of those is coverage throwaways, you know. So that, I think that's been a big contributor to the completion percentage. But yeah, it's lower than we'd like it.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today, this Friday afternoon. Joining me here in studio, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. Aaron Rodgers there talking about the number of throwaways. Mike, one of the cuts that, now Wednesday when he met with the media, I thought it was interesting because there was a lot of talk about, you know, running the table and relax and trying to get something out of him that was going to give everybody reassurance that this season was going to be okay. But one of the things I found very interesting, and I keep going back to, he was talking about plays, run-pass options, and that he doesn't have a lot of leeway or hasn't, you know, in that pass game against the Patriots. Only had one, I think he said. And then they asked him, well, what do you got to do? And he said, we got to start calling more plays for Davante Adams. He said this 2 or 3 times now. And then he said, we have to run the ball more. We have to stick with it. And then he talked about trust in the wide receivers. Because I wrote those 3 things down, and I kept thinking to myself, this is all play calling. This is, if you're not running the ball more and you're not, your primary target is not Davante Adams, you're setting plays up for other guys, it all goes back to play calling, doesn't it?
Or problem solving. You know, you used to have Sitton and Lang at guards. You've now got Lane Taylor, an undrafted guy who worked his way onto the field, and Bell, who's an average guy you picked up on the street at guard. And the blitzes have come right up the middle. You've got Davante Adams, and now Randall Cobb has missed most of this season, and Geronimo Allison just got put on IR. So there goes your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Graham has got a knee, and he's half of what they thought they had
right. In
mini camps and through much of training camp. So timing is way off again. And then there's the debate about, is it Rodgers that is getting out of the RPO and trying to get another throw? Or is McCarthy not using Aaron Jones? Some people think that's one of the reasons they trade away Ty Montgomery. Take him away. Get Aaron Jones on the field. Mm-hmm. That's your spark. This guy's a player. We got you a spark player here. Those 3 that we drafted, use him. Make a star out of him. Make him a Pro Bowler. Get him involved. Aaron, though, was very frank about this. And I'll tell you, had a chance to talk to him, you know, off to the side a little bit, too. He's in a good place. The guy's just trying to win football games. But, you know, the company as a whole has got just a lot of open ends, which is why it doesn't look like the usual Packers offense that we're used to seeing. And he was very frank about these throwaway passes and his numbers.
I think this guy's being open. You know, if the guy's open, I'm going to pull the trigger. But if guys are covered and I can't extend it, then you have to find a place to go with the ball that's our guys or nobody's.
There's a thing about Aaron Rodgers, particularly when we play him on the radio like this, where you just think, well, he's being aloof or something like that. And I can just tell you, in talking to him, he's shrugging his shoulders like, man, what are you, I'm not going to throw interceptions. I'm not going to be Brett Favre in 2005 in that game down against the Bengals.
Right.
Where, look, yeah, I don't have a running back. I've got inexperienced wide receivers. Donald Driver's injured, those kinds of things. So I'm just going to try something here. He throws four pick. And what's the headline? Favre blows the game by throwing four picks.
Right.
No, I had nothing else to go to. I don't have a good defense. We're not good on special teams. That's when they went 4-12, and they let us game slip away against the Bengals. And, you know, who Eli Manning, four picks, career over. Aaron Rodgers is not going to let that happen. You talk to Joel Philbin, the offensive coordinator, and here's sort of like the monthly management report.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of a lot of factors, number one. Just like anything else in football, I mean, you know, obviously we've been playing with some younger receivers, number one. Sometimes it might be a route. Sometimes it might be a protection. Sometimes it might be the throw. Sometimes it might be they've got a good coverage dialed up against that specific pass concept, you know. So I don't think it's really been one thing necessarily. You know, we've dropped some passes. It's something we're certainly aware of, and we're working to improve on a daily basis, and something that I see us in the second half, you know, getting back to where we need to be. That's been a point of emphasis, and, you know, we have to do better, certainly everybody. I think, as you mentioned, there have been a lot of throwaways, and, again, there's reasons for those, too. So, but, you know, we need more production for sure and a little bit more efficiency and crispness in the passing game.
The group that you're playing against from Miami this weekend, they had four picks last week against the Jets and the rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold. But they got 15. That's pretty good. They give up yards on the ground, though. As you know, Cameron Wake and some of those cats are pretty good. That was a really good game that they played against the Bears a few weeks ago. Down in Miami, they went back and forth. Brock Osweiler found Wilson, really fast guy. Reminded me of like a Stephon Diggs type. Except now he's on the IR, but they found him for a couple of slants. All they had to do is get the ball in his hands, short, high-percentage passes, and he was scoring on the Bears. That game ended in an overtime on a field goal. But they, you know, they don't have that kind of a weapon now. I think that, you know, the Packers got to think about running the football, and then there's, you know, issues you've got on the defense. Here's one quote.
Who's playing better right now, though, the defense or the offense?
Defense.
See, I think so, too. And even though
statistically, they are there.
Yeah.
Listen to Randall Cobb. Now, this has been a tough year for him with a hamstring. He's missed so many games, and they hope that they can get him back 100% this week. But this guy is always Mr. Optimism. Listen to him coming into this week at 3-4-1.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need some momentum. We need to get a win. I can tell you this isn't fun. It's very frustrating. And it's tough. It's tough because I know what we're capable of and we're not there. And I don't know what it is. We've lost games before here, but this just feels different. And it doesn't feel good. It's not fun.
Feels different.
Yeah.
Does it sound to you like optimism is not necessarily reigning supreme at this point?
Yeah. Well, confidence.
Yeah.
You know, this is uncharted waters for them. Just, I guess, the way they feel. It's one thing to say, well, Aaron Rodgers is injured, and we got Brett Hundley, and that's it. But no, Aaron Rodgers is here, and we're still not winning games. That's the part that's getting
right.
Pretty confusing. On defense, the Packers have 25 sacks, and actually, when you see how few plays that defense has been on the field, they're actually ranked third for getting to the quarterback. Now, what's interesting is Mike Pettine was talking about last night, like, look, we don't have a quota for getting sacks. We try and move the quarterback, disrupt the quarterback. That's what I'm doing with my defense. And it's not going to come from the same, like Clay Matthews outside pass rusher. You have to mix it up, or after a while, an offense is going to be able to correct for that and figure out how to take care of your pass rush. Between Nick Perry and Clay Matthews for the whole season so far, just four sacks.
Right.
Nick Perry last night.
You know, we are a different team. You know, things are a little bit different. We do have a lot of sacks on the stat sheet. So, you know, we do a lot of pressure things, freeing up guys. So, You know, I'm not alarmed, but, you know, it's something that I take pride in. And, you know, I want to give my best every week. So, I come prepared every week, you know, looking for those opportunities to make plays.
There's still the same sound in just about every voice in that locker room. Aaron doesn't sound up. Randall doesn't sound up. Perry doesn't sound up. It sounds like, and I don't want to say defeated, it just sounds like a locker room that is searching for something right now, something to grab onto.
Yeah, and then your best tackler, Blake Martinez, the guy who runs your defense with the helmet, steps on Tom Brady's foot, twists his ankle, gets carted off, comes back out in the game. I don't know why, but there was one play where he's trying to chase a ball carrier, and he was at half speed at best. I would think that they would rest him this weekend. They got Antonio Morrison in there to try and deal with Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked to Mike Pettine about how good is he. When Antonio Morrison had to go fill in, you know what? They gave him a blitz right up the middle, and he got home on Tom Brady. It was very impressive. So what if Antonio Morrison is your main inside linebacker against the Dolphins?
I thought Tone was fine with the green dot. I mean, he went in there. I mean, he prepares as if he's the starter, and that's a perfect example for that's great for the young guys to see that here's a guy that, you know, could very easily sit there in the meeting room and be like, oh, I'm not going to play, and all of a sudden, wow, my number just got called. I got to go. I mean, he was ready to go, and played at a high level. And you know, to answer your question with the other guys, it's, you know, playing time is earned, and we're going to put the best 11 out there, and if two guys are playing well and they don't need a break from a conditioning standpoint, then those guys probably aren't going to make it on the field. And a lot of our groupings too, we're playing with an additional DB and only have one linebacker on the field. So that I think, you know, lessens the chances of them getting out there even more.
And put yourself, that's Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, put yourself in his shoes and Joe Witt, your secondary coach. Week 17 last year, here's where's your secondary. Lindsey Pipkins, Morgan Burnett, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Josh Jones,
right.
Marwin Evans, Josh Hawkins, Jermaine Whitehead, Donatello Brown. Only one of those guys is
right.
left
Josh
on your
Jones
roster.
Is it. Yeah.
I mean,
they clean that up big time.
So what I'm saying is these defensive coaches, man, you talk about learning on the job, and
right.
It's week 10.
Absolutely right. Going to go ahead and take a quick break, come back, wrap things up. Mike Clements here in studio. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, he's a veteran. You know, he's played in our system. You know, obviously, Mike Pettine had him as a rookie there in Cleveland, so he seems to be picking things up very well. I know Ron Zook feels good about him and as far as what we're asking him to do and what he's done in the past on special teams. So just in the short time that he's been here, but he looks like he's gone off on the right foot.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. Those are the words of Mike McCarthy. By the way, I got a note for you from our friends at Brumar Productions, and I got to get this correct. Tonight is the show out in Eau Claire. I was advertising this this week, and I had said it's on the 9th. Today is the 9th. I was thinking it was Saturday for whatever reason, but if you want to go to the show tonight, get tickets. Go to pablocenter.org, pablocenter.org, put in the promo code UNIT, and you can order your tickets. Get them right now. Have them waiting for you at Will Call, and you can get a discount on them tonight. The Pablo Center in Eau Claire. It is the music of John Denver, Ryan McIntyre, the instrumentalist and guitar and the singer, the guy that played at our wedding, Sherry and I's wedding. Fantastic. And he's going to be the opening act tonight. So get out to the Pablo Center in Eau Claire and enjoy yourself this evening. Mike Clements joining us here in studio. And yes.
We're talking about Jermaine Whitehead.
We were talking about, obviously there's more to the story than just one slap across the face to get you sent out of town. But,
you know, Mike Pettine just the week before talked about he's one of the smarter defensive players he's got. He's a tough guy,
a little tough
around the edges. During the preseason, they had him out there in safety playing that hybrid safety spot that they had him playing against the Rams. He was supposed to cover the tight end. And the Chiefs tight end had three consecutive catches, or close to that, in a drive, finishing with a touchdown catch where Jermaine Whitehead is up. He gets turned around, and he loses his balance and falls flat on his face while the tight end catches the ball and gets a touchdown. So I just tweeted out, I don't rip people. I just, you know, what I saw. Look, you know, three bad plays there for Whitehead trying to earn a spot, covering the tight end, and, you know, the last one ends up face down in the end zone. He, a couple of days later, a guy that follows all the players on Twitter said, did you see what he said about you? Hey, I took a picture of it before he took it down, and it says to me, he directs it to me and says, "You take those words and my name out of your mouth right now, old man," which is everybody in the press box now calls me. Hashtag old man.
Hashtag old man, yeah.
So then he took it down, and then he blocked any of us that cover the team. So it's little things like that. So
yeah.
You won't hear my one-on-one with Jermaine anytime soon here on the Bill Michaels Show.
I don't care.
That's my Jermaine Whitehead story.
You know,
that's as close as it comes, right?
He was as impactful as a deflated airbag. I didn't care.
So Aaron Rodgers is out there now using more and more of these rookie wide receivers. Equanimeous St. Brown, number 19. When Devin McCourty, number 32 from the Patriots, tries to blitz up the middle, Rodgers says, okay, the open spot, okay, throw it to 19. But he throws it inside, and St. Brown goes outside. Missed opportunity for, who knows, maybe it could have been a touchdown. You talked to David Rain, the wide receivers coach, about that play, and he had an interesting comment.
Great. That was a great learning moment. And I'm going to say these names so you guys get them, because they'd kill me if I didn't do this. Okay, so it's Equanimeous, okay? I'm with him every – no, it's – they'll appreciate this. Equanimeous, Marquez, right, and then Jamon. You guys got that, okay? Think about the names in my room. Equanimeous, his name is Equanimeous Tristan Imhotep J. St. Brown. That's his full name. And he speaks three languages.
How long did it take you to memorize that?
I had him write it up on the board, and then I just made sure he knew that I knew it. But anyways, that moment in the game in New England, that was a great learning moment for him. Just two things, simply put. First of all, there's a route adjustment on the play that we need to be in tune to. And then second of all, you know, they were bringing empty pressure. And so there's just a lot of thinking going on. And as he and Aaron were communicating, you know, he was playing fast, but he wasn't right on the money with what we were trying to get done.
Packers wide receiver coach David Rainer's working mm-hmm. with these rookies. And finally, you know, Aaron Rodgers was really disappointed after 5 years Alex Van Pelt was not coming back as his quarterback coach. The guy who replaced him is Frank Cignetti Jr. His father's a legendary football coach in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, you know, connections to McCarthy. And he was asked about some of Rodgers throwing away and why his inaccuracy is down.
Well, when you look at completion percentage, you know, ultimate team game, some of it's decision, some of it's, you know, throwaways, protection. You know, you just keep working on making great decisions.
Is his accuracy been okay now, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just coming together, doing the best job you can, taking advantage of opportunities.
Okay.
A chance for a big play on that one. Equanimeous St. Brown bent it inside. It was a blitz.
Well, anytime you'd like to always take advantage of plays, you know.
So what happened on it?
I'm trying to think of which play you're actually talking about here.
It was a deep blitz. I think 32 blitzed right open to Aaron. I mean, it was like he was free runner right at Aaron, and he threw it up. And
yeah, I can't think of the play right now.
I mean, how can you not? He's the quarterback.
Yeah,
coach, Bill. He reminds you that Chris Farley character on SNL.
No, you got to play it.
Yeah. My name is Matt Foley.
Yeah.
And I am a motivational speaker. First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live in a van down by the river.
Quarterback coach right there.
See you on Sunday, man.
See you, pal.
There you go. Time for us to go. Have a great weekend. See you.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.